it was a really neat experience. So we actually went to China and Japan with USMEF, or the U.S. Meat Export Federation. There was four folks from the state of Minnesota and some folks from Texas and Nebraska and Colorado that went as well. And what we basically did was help USMEF with part of some of their consumer-facing events that they held last week. And so these consumer-facing events were working with influencers like restaurant owners or meat wholesalers, and just educating them about where their product comes from. So we all took turns talking about our specific farms, our specific families, and about different sectors of the beef industry, and how basically the product goes from our farm across the, you know, the ocean over to, you know, their grocery stores or their restaurants. So it was a really fun experience.
So when it comes to China and Japan, what's their perception of U.S. beef?
You know, I was really surprised at how different the two markets were. So in China, they're primarily focused on the price point of beef. China is a relatively new market, as, you know, we haven't really had beef in there for a number of years, so trying to rebuild that market is something that they're focusing on. So price point is very important in China. But when you go over to Japan, which is a more well-developed market, and obviously it's number one destination for exported beef from the United States, that market is very much focused on quality, not so much price point. So it was a really different experience between the two countries. Something that we found really interesting in Japan, you know, so they're used to having Wagyu beef, which is a highly marbled beef, and they're actually moving away to more leaner cuts. But to them, their perception of lean is U.S. prime beef compared to Wagyu. So, you know, they're looking at prime beef still, but they're considering it to be lean beef. So that was kind of a fun thing to try to wrap your head around in the country of Japan.
Ashley Coles joining us this morning, Executive Director with the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association. Did you have any chance to check out their plants or packing facilities or anything like that?
Yeah, so we didn't actually get into any animal processing facilities, but we got into a number of further processing facilities. So in Japan specifically, they import primal cuts, and then they do a lot of that further processing there themselves. So we got to go to a few grocery stores that further process within their own grocery store to package products into case-ready products. They didn't actually have a technical butcher counter, but a lot of case-ready products like you see here in the U.S., just different cuts cut differently. And then we also had the opportunity to go into kind of a larger, further processing case-ready plant, which was really interesting just to see the food safety aspect. You know, my background is food safety, so it was interesting to see how they took that to a whole higher level than what we see here in the United States. So that was fun. We also got to go to a few wholesale markets and a lot of grocery stores just to see how they are marketing U.S. beef. And in the United States, when you think of what is a big competitor for beef, it's usually pork or chicken are things that you think about. But when you're in China and Japan, the number one competitor for U.S. beef is beef from other countries. So it was really odd to see, you know, our beef in a grocery store case right next to beef from Australia and South America. So that was also something that was kind of hard to wrap your head around because we're so used to beef here, you know, all looking the same. But when you go to their grocery stores, it definitely does not.
Did you get a feeling from a consumer side their diets are kind of evolving and changing and incorporating more beef into their daily diets?
Yeah, so that is a challenge that USMEF has over there. Pork is actually the number one protein that they do consume, animal protein that they consume. And the way that they consume these animal proteins is a lot different than how we consume proteins here. I mean, they don't grill steaks. They don't have cheeseburgers. They actually don't have grills pretty much at all in those countries because a lot of them live in apartment buildings. And something else interesting, I guess, that I found is that they don't even have ovens in their apartments. They have cooktop stoves. So the way that we market beef to folks in Asian countries is definitely a lot different because, A, their diets are different. Their access to cooking methods is different. So it was fun to see how they are marketing thinner cuts of beef and actually not even really ground beef at all. So ground beef is a pretty pretty high-demand product here in the U.S., and we saw very, very little ground beef in either country.
You know, it sounds like they all live in college dorms over there.
You know, it's kind of what it seemed like they were, yeah.
I know you had a chance to share a lot of photos and information on social media. What were some of the menus like when you went out? There's a lot of raw products, is that right?
I guess when you think of, you know, Asian countries, you do think of a lot of sushi and a lot of fish or seafood. There was a fair amount of, you know, raw fish. And, you know, talking about fish, it was interesting when they showed consumption patterns for folks, especially in Japan. Their consumption of seafood is actually dropping because of the popularity of sushi across the world. And so it's getting too expensive for them to have it as kind of a mainstay in their diet. And so beef is kind of filling that void a little bit. So if you live in the U.S., eat more sushi so they eat more beef in Japan.
You know, listeners want to know if you had a chance to try sake. Is that any good or what?
You know, we did try some sake, and actually we did a little, trial here in the U.S. before we went over just to see what it was like, and sake in Japan is definitely better than sake here in the U.S.
So you couldn't find Busch Light on the menu, I bet, huh?
No, there was none.
Oh, come on. We need to start trading more with them or something. So.
Oh, I know. They do actually, they do like beer over in China and Japan. There was a lot of beer on the menu, but it was all stuff brewed within their own country.
So looking back, I know it's early. It's been just a few days. Did you get out of this trip what you thought you would, or was it a lot more different than your expectations?
You know, I would say that this trip exceeded my expectations of what we were going to do. I wasn't exactly sure how we were going to interact with their consumers and their government officials, but I felt like we actually made an impact because it was our job to tell our story, which was kind of nice to be able to do. It was also our job to be able to defend our industry about some of our practices that we do and to ask some of those questions when it comes to the trade agreements. You know, I guess working in ag policy, it's always kind of been, hey, here's the trade agreement and, you know, this is what it is. And you don't really have somebody from that specific country to ask a lot of the questions to. So sitting down and talking to government officials from both countries, I learned a lot about their thought processes, and now a lot of our trade agreements make more sense in my mind. And I feel that taking that message back here to Minnesota will help a lot of our members also understand why some of these trade agreements are set up the way they are.